Father God, we come once more again into your presence. We thank you, Lord, for the joy that you have given us. We thank you, Lord, for the peace you have imparted to us. We thank you, Lord, for letting the victory, what you've done on that cross, register in our spirits to realize how wonderful you are. So, Lord, we thank you. We praise you. Help us learn how to confirm you in our life instead of confirming Satan. Let us start thinking right and holy and pure to do that which is pleasing unto you. Let us learn in our spirits every day, Lord, let me do this that's pleasing unto you and not unto anybody else. Let me do that which is not a sin against you before our feet hit the floor. And that all that whole day, he will honor that prayer because he knew it was not by your strength that it was able to be done. So, Lord, help us. Be with us and stand by us, and we will continue to give you all the wonderful praise and the glory, and the saints of God that are in agreement with this prayer. Say amen.
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 In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, can I get you to stand to your feet?
Mm-hmm.
Sermon text is going to be taken out of Romans chapter 6, verse 11.
Right.
Romans chapter 6, verse 11. Title is going to be, Who Are You Confirming? Stop confirming Satan and start confirming Jesus Christ.
All right.
Verse 11 says, even so, consider yourself to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. You may be seated. Title of today's message is, Who Are You Confirming? Who are you confirming? When you go to the bank or you go to buy something, anybody here got a credit card? A debit card?
Yeah, amen.
Before you buy it, they have to okay it, right? As you being the owner of that card before they will charge it to your account. Is the light coming on? That means they confirm that you are the official person to withdraw those funds from that bank in your account. When that put that card in there, you know what it's doing? It's authorizing. What is authorizing doing? It's confirming. Oh yeah, you're the owner. You have the rights to that card. You have rights to that check-in or savings account to withdraw the money to whatever it is you want to buy, right? Well, that's what God is saying. Once I have saved you, once I have redeemed you, I want you now to confirm what I have confirmed. Hopefully the light's going to come on here in a little bit.
It's old.
See, when you confirm something, let me give you the definition of confirm, and then we're going to look at the text, sermon text that I put up. Confirm means to make certain, or to establish, or to strengthen, or to prove with more evidence, making authoritative. Y'all get that?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, it's verifying who you are and what has been done. Definition of confirm, and I got it from 1 Corinthians 1 and 8. It means God has confirmed you, and he's going to keep on doing it till the end. It means to make certain, to establish, to strengthen, to prove with more evidence. That's what it means. So as we get to the message today, are you confirming Christ in your life? Stop confirming Satan. How do you confirm Satan? Lies, hate, envy, jealousy, lust, and there's a whole bunch of other stuff that I ain't even have to mention because we all know what they are. But it starts with your choice. Start confirming Jesus Christ. So every day of your life, since you've been born again, now if you're born again, raise your hand up. If you're born again, amen. Amen. Like the house full of saints. So when you know you're born again, stop confirming Satan and start confirming Jesus Christ. How would Christ have me to do this? How would Christ have me to think about this? Why? Because now you are submitting to his lordship. Let me just follow the Holy Spirit and deviate from some of my old notes. What is the last command God told you to do? If you say, and you're born again, he has told you something that's recent. Not something that he gave you 2 years ago, okay? It should be something this morning, something from last night. He has given you a personal command, and he's looking to see, you going to do it? You going to do it? Because when he tells you to do stuff, it's going to challenge you. And it's going to work straight on your thinking. And he's looking to see, he's looking for one major word that's going to be coming forth. Are you going to submit and do what I say? That person was ugly to you, but are you going to love them? That person did was rude to you. Are you going to show my attributes? See, when you listen to the Lord and he do what he said, you're showing him, you're confirming he's Lord. Is this coming on?
Amen.
Light came on yet? Keep playing with the switch. Jesus Christ is your master, isn't that right?
Amen.
And he's going to be telling you what he wants you to do. And once he tells you to do something, then it's going to reveal what's going on between you and him. Is the light coming on? Remember in the book of Genesis? In the book of Genesis chapter 3 verse 9, God came to Adam and told him, where are you?
Uh-oh.
Every day, folks, and this is just my own personal conviction. The text doesn't say that. But I believe God comes every day in our life and he asks, what's going on between me and you?
My.
You my child, you've been saved, you're on your way. What's going on between me and you? No, it ain't got nothing to do with what's going on with them. I use them to help you see you, and you blaming it on them.
Mm.
Your wife made me do that.
Mm.
Your husband made me do that. Your pastor made me do that. Your boss made me do that. Your fellow employee made me do that. Your children made me do that. And God said, you ain't getting it. I'm the one that allowed them to get to you. Look at you. And if stuff come from you that Satan endorses, then you telling God, I'm not confirming you. Oh man, hello. Somebody call Edison. Or GE, or we'll make these bulbs. Bing! Let's go over the bullet points and we'll come back to it here in a little bit. Sermon text number one. You either will be listening to Satan, or you will be listening to Christ Jesus. And we're going to look at that in Romans chapter 6, verse 11 through 18. Sermon text number two. You're going to be revealing in your relationship with God if you have an understanding or if you have a misunderstanding. Sermon text number three. Once you have an understanding, then you will be revealing, you will have the authority you can be that you practice. And the authority that you practice, and I just thought I'd toss in a few examples. And they are ing. You will be showing thanksgiving. You will be showing if you're praying. You will be showing if you're rejoicing. And there are a whole host of other attributes that you will be verifying you connected. And you know what's going to happen? After you do that, sermon text number four, it's going to show you how. You're going to learn how to do this stuff time and time again. It's going to set your mind where your priorities are. You know what? I used to want to slap the mess out of him. But now I want to hug him. See how you're changing? Come on. Y'all won't admit y'all problem, but I can tell y'all my problem. Because we come from a long line of people will get you. I got one of the 56, 53 left to bring. That man used to pack guns, and you mess with him, him and his gang will get you. Yeah, because I took his guns out of his house. But what I'm trying to get you to see is that fallen nature will always be rebelling against God. So let's look at the text this morning in Romans chapter 6. Y'all have the bullet points?
Uh-huh.
Romans chapter 6, beginning at verse 11.
All right.
It starts with a choice. Even so, consider yourself what?
Dead
to sin. Now, what does a dead person do?
No.
Can a dead person jump up out of the casket and tell a big lie?
No.
Can a dead person jump out of the casket and steal something?
No.
Can a dead person jump out of the casket and commit all kind of immoral acts?
No.
So when God says you have been born again, consider yourself dead.
Uh-huh.
And that takes a lot of work. Because we all are alive and well thinking what we're thinking is all right. What's the option? Satan or Jesus Christ? But be alive to God where?
In
Christ Jesus. And if you say, did he give you his divine nature?
Amen.
You've been here edified. You already know. The day you got saved, he imparted to you his divine nature. That means every day you have no excuse. You got the power to do right. And God said, I'm going to allow a little bit of evil to come your way and see how you're going to handle it. You listening? Go to verse 12. Therefore, do not allow, that word let, sin reign where?
In your
mortal bodies. That you should obey its lust. Sin going to knock on your door and tell you something that's straight from hell. Boy, you know you ought to knock him out. Come on, hit him. I told y'all about one time Satan put that thought in my mind. I'm walking with the pastor, my father in the ministry, and we were walking in and out of the building, and I don't know where that thought came from. And the thought said, hit him! I'm saying, what? Where did that stupid idea come from? Pastor's giving me some advice, talking about stuff, and the thought hit me, hit him! I say, devil is alive. What kind of thought is this? So, and God was grooming and learning when to discern, when to apply things and when not to apply. You know, when it's the right thought and when it's not the right thought. Are y'all with me? Because you're going to get tempted day in and day out. You're going to get thoughts you're going to think is your thought. And you're going to think, oh man, that's a good idea. See how the lie works? But Satan wants you to bite at that hook. But you remember, dead people ain't going to do what?
Nothing.
Amen. When Satan endorses an action, you need to identify, oh no, devil is a lie. Pastor could have had me kicked out of the church and told me, don't you come back here no more. Had to have me arrested. Don't you realize everything could have changed in the ministry for me? Instead of me coming up under his wings and being an example for him to help me grow, it could have been just the opposite.
Yeah.
Let me give you a look at what it said, verse 13. But do not go on presenting the members of your body to what?
Amen.
To sin as instruments of unrighteousness. Now let me give you a mini test. Is lying unrighteousness?
Yes.
Is hate unrighteousness?
Yes.
Stealing unrighteousness?
Yes.
Being sexually immoral unrighteous?
Yes.
Okay, all right. Coveting, is that unrighteous?
Yes.
So we just sign off all those things that does not confirm Christ. And the list will keep going on. So what I want you to look at the text. But, y'all see the but?
Yeah.
Present yourselves to who?
God.
As those who are alive from the dead. Remember we talked about attain resurrection from the dead? And your members as instruments, this is what God wants you to be, of righteousness to God. These are the things that confirm you belong to him. You are doing what he wants to do through you. Is this sinking in? Always be mindful. Lord, let me do everything today that will be signed off by Christ. Just like you sign off that credit card, right? And if someone buys stuff, you got them in his bank. God said, I will confirm and endorse that when I see my son. Is this making sense?
Yeah.
Verse 14. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under the law, but under what?
Grace.
Let this sink in. It's not that God want to whoop you. He's trying to help you see how gracious he is to you. As I was at the funeral Saturday and I was sitting beside the other preacher, Pastor Montgomery's funeral, I was sharing with him how I've taught at the church about grace and mercy. And he really loved that illustration. I said, here you are driving down the freeway the speed limit is 70 miles an hour, and here you are, you're going 95, okay? And the police car pulled behind you, the lights are flashing, you see them and you pull over. And the policeman walks up to the window, knocks on the window, tells you to let it down, and he asks to see your driver's license and registration. Okay? And that's the law. It's going to pull you over and condemn you. But instead of giving you a ticket, he says, okay, I'm not going to give you a ticket. What's that called? Mercy. You're going 95 miles an hour, and the speed limit is 70. Don't you think he's supposed to give you a ticket? Don't you deserve to get a ticket?
Yeah.
Mercy says, give to you. But you know what he do? He goes back, gives you your license registration back. He goes back to his police car, and he comes back out with two $400 tickets to some opera that you never would have probably went to.
None.
For some famous opera, and say, here, go take you and your wife or your girlfriend to this. Mm-hmm. What's that called?
Grace.
That's grace. You were doing wrong, and God gives you more of what you don't even deserve. Y'all listen?
Amen.
God does this every day of our life, folks. And you know what? We don't even see it. He says, I'm giving you air. I'm giving you food. I'm giving you patience. I'm giving you things you don't deserve. But do you see it? Because when you see it, you're going to what? Show it, right? Look what it says in verse 14. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under what?
Grace.
Under. Do you see that every day?
Uh-huh.
Do you see that every day? Verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? What's y'all edified members say?
Mega
anointo. Y'all learn some Greek. May it never be. Verse 16. Do you not know that when you present yourself to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves to the one whom you obey? Satan knocks on you. He learned something in the spiritual realm we haven't realized yet. God made man to have authority and dominion.
Amen.
But angels, demonic realm, have stole it, but they can't exercise it until you hand it over to them. Ooh, are y'all listening?
Yeah.
Back in the Garden of Eden, when he tricked Adam and Eve to rebel against God, that's when they stole our rights to exercise authority. But when Jesus came, he took it back. What's that song that Reverend White say? He took it back, didn't he? You can't have my family. You can't have my breakthrough. I plead the
blood.
Amen. You, when you obey Christ, you are demonstrating the blood that he wants to let be seen through you. You demonstrate the attributes of how his son is now being seen on the earth right now. But it all starts with obedience. You choose which one's going to happen. Obedience unto Christ or obedience unto Satan. Y'all see that right there in verse 16? Y'all don't see that in verse 16? You tell God, resulting in righteousness or resulting in unrighteousness. But God said, hopefully the lightning came on, verse 17.
All right.
But thanks be to God that through you were slaves to sin, you became obedient where?
From the heart.
From the heart. The heart is your thinking. Your mind, your will, and your emotion. Your heart is your volition. That form of teaching to which you were committed, verse 18, and having been freed from sin, you became slaves to what?
Righteous.
To what?
Righteous.
If Jesus, see, the sign off is learn how Jesus will want you to do so. If Jesus endorsing whatever it is that he's told you to do, do it. Immediately, stop telling God, I ain't going to do it. Stop telling God, I ain't going to do that. I ain't going to tithe. I ain't going to read my Bible. I ain't going to go to church. I ain't going to forgive that sister, that brother. I ain't. Then God said, you're showing a lack of understanding. See, when you hang out with God, his son Jesus Christ, he gives you more power to understand his ways.
Amen.
When you don't hang out with Jesus Christ, you have less of the power to hear what Jesus is saying. It's real simple. You will be confirming Satan, or you will be confirming Christ. And what I'm trying to get you today to understand today, saints, is start confirming who?
Christ.
Start confirming Jesus Christ. Learn about how Christ would have it done. Learn about what Christ would want you to do. Learn about how Christ would handle this situation. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Every day God knocks on your life and says, what you learned yet? He starts where you are with him. Everybody's at a different level.
Right.
And so he wants you to grow. You know, when you got saved, he did not give you his seed to set at the same point. He gave you his divine seed, and he wants that seed to grow. Is it growing?
Amen.
Is it growing?
Amen.
God said it won't return void. It's going, whatever he put in the ground, he know what kind of fruit you're going to produce. Do you know what kind of fruit you meant to produce? Many Christians do not know what their purpose is. Ooh, I'm meddling, ain't I? When we don't know our purpose, how are we going to know what we're supposed to do? Hmm? Why? Because we lack understanding. Sermon text number 2. See, when you're dealing with God, you're either going to have a good understanding,
right,
or you're going to have a what? A bad understanding, a misunderstanding. How many times we done met saints with what?
A misunderstanding.
And they're telling me right off, I don't really know the Lord that died for me, because I ain't doing nothing that he say. Remember we opened up with, you're either going to be doing the last command that he told you. And that's proof that you're born again, because you're going to be ing, practicing whatever the last command is. Jeremiah 9:24. Put that up there for me, Emmanuel. Jeremiah said, I done learned something. Let him who boasts, if you're going to brag about something, boast of this, that I understand, underline that word understand, and knows me, and that I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness. Where? On earth. For I delight in these things, and he signs his name,
declares the Lord.
Now, are you practicing the very attributes and the qualities and the nature of Christ? Are you busy doing your thing? I asked the brothers a little late on that. Man been doing that way before the other brother came on the scene. So what you talking about, preacher? It's your thing. Do what you want to do. But God said, I save you to show I'm your Lord. When you don't listen to Christ, turn to Isaiah 44:18. You're going to walk away with a misunderstanding. Isaiah 44:18. He says, they do not know, nor do they understand, for he has smeared over their eyes so that they cannot understand, they cannot see, and that their hearts, y'all with me? So that they cannot comprehend. If you move away from God, immediately the step that you take, you start getting false information, lies, deception, trusting your feelings. If God tells you to do something, you know what? I wish the church would get on fire and realize the power that has been placed through this church called Edify Community Fellowship to reach the gospel and reach the world. Your blessings are going to be here when you are doing what God established in this ministry to reach the lost. Is this making sense? Instead of you arguing with God, tell him I ain't going to do it.
No.
See, when you draw near to God, doesn't James 4:8 say that? What's going to happen? He'll draw near to you. Uh-huh. The closer you get to God, the closer he's going to give you more of his attributes, and more of his qualities, and more of how he wants you to live. And the light going to come on. You know what? Let me be patient. You know what? Let me tithe. You know what? Let me go to church and worship. This is the best place to be when you want to thank God. Come to the house of the Lord. Look at a passage that tells us that we don't want to listen to God and we're arguing with him. We're telling God, I ain't going to do it. You didn't make me for that. Isaiah 54:9. I want you to see. We are the creature, and we tell the creator, he didn't make us for that. You didn't make me to worship. You didn't make me to give. You didn't make me to read your Bible. You didn't make me to let Christ be Lord. I ain't going to do it. Look at Isaiah 45:9. Isaiah 45:9. Isaiah 45:9. It says, woe to the one who quarrels with his maker. You have your arguments with God? Come on, tell the truth, shame the devil. I'm finna meddle, you finna meddle. You ready? You ain't tired? You arguing with God.
Oh, come on.
The earthware vessel among the vessels of earth, with the clay said to the potter, what are you doing? Or the thing you are making say, he has no hand. So how many people are arguing with God? See what it says there? Woe unto you. God tells you you've been saved, you have been redeemed, and you arguing with him. I ain't going to go to church. I ain't going to read my Bible. I ain't going to forgive that sister. And I ain't. Then you tell him what's going on between what? You and him. See, every day he knocks in the garden of your life, and he wants to, in the cool of the day, say, what's going on between you and me? Where are you? You don't ask, where are you?
Yeah.
And right away, he already know where you are with him. But who don't know where we are with him? Hello, let the light come on. I don't know where I am with him. I'm thinking what I'm doing is all right. See how messed up I can be? Let me keep on doing what I'm doing. I ain't going to tire. I know how to handle my money more than you, God. And God said, keep being foolish. See, when you learn to tithe and you really understand what it means, you know how to change that.
Amen.
When you don't learn how to love, you get all tired, because I know y'all tired of that. When you learn how to love, the unlovable, you're going to learn how to love people even more.
Amen.
See, God gives every true pastor the spirit of loving the unlovable.
Mm.
And I see like, man, it seems like the more I love people, the more they want to hurt me.
Mm.
God said, love them.
Mm.
Pastor Bell told me something years ago. He said, when I was in the military, I had orders. I could tell them what to do. They better obey.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm the pastor. I don't think all the power that I got to do is love them.
That's it. That's
if they don't want to do it,
mm-hmm.
So I follow that same leadership. Jesus Christ is a leader that says, follow me.
Mm-hmm.
You don't, if you don't want to follow, you don't have to follow.
No.
But guess what? That's not a wise choice.
Mm-hmm.
You're arguing with your maker.
Because
If God tells you to love, what's a good idea to do?
What he say,
do what he says. Love the unlovable, showing that you're submitted to him. Let me just meddle a little bit. Can I meddle a little bit? When you do what God says, don't you know it shows a lot about your qualities? It shows a lot about what's going on inside of you. It says a lot about your thinking. It shows you if you have submitted to him. It shows if you are trusting him.
Right.
It shows that you are, if you believe in him. It shows if you are dependent on him. It shows if you are relying on him. It's showing if you have confidence in him. It's showing if you have hope in him. See, when God tells you to do something, it reveals a whole lot about you. But do you see it?
Mm.
And I'm telling you, 90.9% of the time, we don't even see it.
Mm.
We think it's all right to do what we're doing. But that's saying we don't know him.
Because
when you start doing what he says, then you're going to be submitting. And I like the question that Rem White said in the Edify lesson. He says, is the Lord your shepherd?
Mm.
And he was just honest with everybody. He said, no, he ain't my shepherd. He's my master.
Mm.
But God said, I want to be your Lord.
That's it. That's
but I've learned that when you learn that he's your Lord, he'll realize he's your everything.
That's it. That's it.
See, God, he's the sovereign Lord of the universe,
yeah.
And he's in charge of everything. He's over everything. He's even making your air right now.
Amen.
And we still being ungrateful, thinking he have to do. God, you God, you supposed to make me some air.
Mm.
See what kind of attitude we got?
Mm.
See, if you just believe God and trust him
yeah.
on what his instructions is and what he's telling you and how he wants you to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Look at sermon text number 3.
Right.
When God says, I see you practicing my ways,
mm-hmm.
I give you authority.
Mm.
When I see you letting me rule and reign over your will and emotion,
mm.
I give you the commands to rule and reign and let heaven be seen on earth. If you believe in and on Christ for salvation, I'm finna meddle, y'all ready?
Oh,
why don't you believe in and on him on a daily basis on how you're living?
Mm.
See, he didn't just save you just to take you to heaven.
All right.
He saved you that heaven may be seen daily.
Amen. Amen.
How many times Christ wants to be seen through what you're seeing?
Mm.
And we show up.
Oh, gosh.
Say, I ain't going to be the way you want me to do. I'm going to be me.
Mm.
Everybody say, people say, that's the way God made me.
Mm. Yeah.
You ever heard that?
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
He didn't make you to be sinful. You chose to be sinful.
Mm.
He wanted to deliver you from sin.
Yeah.
Is this sinking in? So you exercise divine authority when you do what Christ say. Turn to Matthew 16 and 19, Emmanuel. Matthew 16 and 19. Matthew 16 and 19.
All right.
That 16th chapter, God had to open the eyes of Peter to realize it ain't about him. It's about the one he was speaking to.
That's it.
And he says, I'm going to give you authority. Look what it says in verse 19.
Mm-hmm.
I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Now let that sink in.
Mm-hmm.
You mean to tell me if you're saved, you get a chance to let heaven be brought down here on earth?
Mm-hmm.
You do?
Mm-hmm. Come on.
Problem is, do you believe it?
Mm.
And he says, I'm putting some insurance with it.
Mm.
And whatever. What does ever mean?
Whatever.
He didn't put no stipulation. Whatever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Look at this. Are we exercising this authority? I'm looking at the church and I'm wondering, is the light coming on? This building would not be here if God didn't give Pastor White the authority to practice that verse.
That's it.
Are you listening?
Mm.
That same power that your pastor have, he wants you to have.
Amen. Amen.
Do you believe it?
Amen.
And whatever you shall loose on earth shall be loose where?
Shall be loose in heaven.
But let me give you the secret. Mm. If Christ signs off on it, it's done.
It's done.
So you got the flush behind it, then guess what? You just neutralize it.
Because
Christ got a sign off on it. Your signature don't mean diddly squat.
Mm.
Or squat diddly.
Mm.
Okay?
Come on.
Because what God wants to do is, he wants to use you to destroy Satan's work through you. Then John, 1 John 3 and 8 says, the Son of God appeared that he might, for this purpose, destroy the works of the devil.
Yeah.
So now, if Jesus Christ wouldn't tell that lie, what you hanging out over there in the lie? If Jesus Christ wouldn't hate somebody, then what you doing? Hate somebody.
Mm-hmm.
If Jesus Christ wouldn't show revenge, what you doing showing revenge?
Mm.
So what I'm trying to get you to see, who are you confirming?
Mm.
If you say, confirm who?
Christ.
Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ wouldn't be doing it that way, don't you be found, if Jesus Christ would do it that way, you be found doing it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Illustration that I like about doing, y'all knew I was going to slip some in there, right? Doing a bruised man up from the pavement, a policeman said, can you describe the man who hit you? And the man said, that's what I was doing when I got hit.
Lord, come on.
And every day God hits you with his character. He wants to see what you're going to do with that you've been hit. He's trying to get you to show what you like. You describe what you like. They do something to you and you say, I'm going to get them. Let them get right. Let them get right near me. And we open our mouth and put what we shouldn't be saying. I like what they said yesterday at the conference. You're going to give good advice, but you said, but. You know what? When that but comes, you might not say nothing. You know, I like you, but. You're going to say something you shouldn't say. Leave the butt off. Because you're going to tear something up that you put in place that's good. You know, Pastor, you're a nice guy, but. When I hear the butt, I start backing. Oh, here you come. They're going to say something more. They're going after me. And see, what God's saying is that which you don't build somebody up with, by default, you're doing what? You're tearing them down. See, you got to have your mind made up who you going to serve.
Yeah.
Do you have your mind made up who you going to serve?
Amen.
After many months of a courtship, a girl dismissed her boyfriend with the statement that she could not think of marrying him until he had made $2,000 and had it saved up. So a few months later, she was talking with him and asked him how much he had saved up. And the man said, I have $35. And his reply was, I only got saved $35. So the woman looked at him and said, well, and blushed a little bit. I guess that's enough. Come on, let's get married.
Compromise,
When you got your mind made up, it don't have nothing to do with nothing else. See, if you know it's right and you know that's what God would have it, be done and be approved.
Yeah.
Don't worry about what other people think.
Yeah.
See, a lot of times I've learned not to worry what people think. Years ago, when I started in ministry, I didn't do all this whooping. I didn't do all this running around and yelling and screaming. I just started screaming a little bit more. But then that was a norm, and it's still a norm, a great deal in the ministries and the circles that I know of. But God said, be yourself. So when I went over there on the Reverend Jones, I guess I should have said that when I was over there at Mayfield. I was in his office, and he told me something that really stuck. Lord was using him to minister to me. He said to me, and Reverend Jones is a dynamic preacher, and he can sing, and he can really have a congregation with him. I don't have that kind of gift. And he said, you be yourself. He said, you God called you, so you be yourself. And then it was confirmed also, he said that when you get up to speak, people listen to you because they're hearing what you say. And then when I went over to Mount Olive, when my wife had her cake shop, N.L. Robinson of Mount Olive here in Arlington, he told me something similar. My wife was doing a cake there and she was setting the cake up for the wedding. I said, well, let me just walk through the sanctuary and look around. Reverend Robinson, that's when he could get around, was sitting in the sanctuary. You know, he's a kind of a big guy. And he said, preacher, let me tell you something, young preacher. He said, when you preach, be yourself. Because if you get up and you're trying to be me, or you're trying to be somebody else, ain't nobody there. God said, you be you. You know how that helped me? So I was tempted to just lean a bit. Let me start doing a little humming. And put a little more into the message. Yeah. But God said, no. You be you. You let you and your personality flow through the message, and I'll take it from there.
Yes.
Let me give you some examples.
All right.
God say, as an example, when life comes, no matter what's happening, show me you're thankful. Then Ephesians 5:20 says, always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, even to the Father. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, everything, give thanks. See, when God sees those fruits coming, you're signing off on His approval. Lord, I know it's rough, but thank you.
Praise you.
Because if you allowed it to get to me, you're showing me you're in charge. I'm the one growing to catch up with you.
Yeah.
Give you another one.
Yeah, come on.
Are you praying regularly?
Come on.
See, when you are praying regularly, don't you know that helps your relationship with God?
Yeah.
Ephesians 6:18 says, with all prayer and petitions, pray in all times, where? In the spirit, in this view, but be on the alert, with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your request be made known to who?
God.
See, you're showing God. If you're thankful, if you're praying regular, you got a connection.
That's it.
How many times we show God, I ain't connecting to you? We so busy, we won't even take time to steal away and talk to Him.
Yeah.
And I've learned, the Bible says, pray how often?
That's it.
Non-stop.
Yeah.
See, when Jesus walked around, He was praying. He didn't have to necessarily steal away. But them intimate times is when He got away from the crowd.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you folks, and I still know a lot of people ain't heard me, turn off those telephones, turn off that computer, just let all that technology go. And see, what are you seeing, Lord? I've learned more from sitting in my office, not having a television, not having no phone, and just, Lord, speak to me.
Speak to my man. Yes.
Down here at the church, or at home, quietly, Lord, speak to me. God said, now I want to show you what's going on between me and you. Is the light coming on?
Come on.
Last of all, are you rejoicing? Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice always, and again I say,
rejoice.
Yeah. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, rejoice always. So before you can have rejoice, you got to have joy.
Yeah.
Oh, most people miss that.
Yeah.
Do you understand when He died for you on that cross, you should have started having church?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I'm born again. I'm on the way to heaven. Didn't deserve that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And when problems come, then you bring it up again. I'm a new creature in Christ. I don't care what you're doing to me. I'm going to do what God say.
Come on.
Sermon text number 4. How do you do this, folks? Sermon text number 4. How do you do it? You got to set your mind.
That's it.
I'm challenging you. Before you hit the floor, every day, say, Lord, please do not let me sin against you. Have you started incorporating that into your prayers?
Yeah.
If you haven't, you need to start.
Amen.
Because as soon as you hit the floor, your husband or your wife or your children or your boss, they're going after you. They're good. They're like a hawk. They're looking at you. Oh, let me get it. Let me catch him off guard. And you know what? A bird is hard to stop. If a bird want to pick you, you're kind of defensive. Because he can come at an angle you can't stop. Are you listening?
Amen.
He catch you with your looking the other way. Pow! Little beep.
Come on.
See, when you prepare your mind, God protects you. Lord, don't let me sin against you because you're the one that has all power. You're the one that has all understanding.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, Lord.
And don't you know when you pray, God hear you? Come on, do you listen?
Amen.
When you pray, don't you know God hears you?
Yeah.
The quickest prayer you can pray in every situation is, Lord, help. Help my thinking. Help my tongue, my feet, my mouth. Help. Let Christ be seen. At church, a man was asked. He says, Pastor, I need you to pray for my hearing. So the pastor says, okay, come on forward in the church and we're going to pray for your hearing. And so the pastor went down and laid hands on him and prayed for his hearing. And so the pastor says, now your hearing ought to be better. How you doing? And the man says, well, what about your hearing? Can you hear it? He said, no, that's not until Wednesday.
Come on.
Wrong hearing.
Come on.
Are you really listening to God? Say, come on now. Are you really listening to God? See, when you come to church, your spiritual ear ought to be attuned to how he wants you to hear and receive.
Yeah.
Turn to Colossians chapter 3. We're going to go as far as we can. And then we're going to stop where the Holy Spirit tells us to stop.
Okay.
You got to set your mind.
Amen.
Your conduct shows who's is first in your life.
Come on.
You're going to show God where you are. You're showing him if you trust him, if you submit it to him, if you have faith in him.
Yeah.
Verse 1 says, if then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking where?
The things above.
The things where?
Above.
Where Christ is where?
Seated.
At the right hand of God. And every day, verse 2, set your mind. Y'all see that? Set your mind. Because where your mind is set is where your body, your hands, your feet, and your whole volition go.
Where you going to perch?
If you got your mind made up, you going to do wrong. Can't nobody hard to stop you.
Can't nobody.
But God, till he had enough. Set your mind where? On things above, not things on the earth. So you already should have a what? A priority. Lord, let me do what you want me to do down here on the planet. And whatever I loose on earth will be loose. And whatever I bound in heaven shall be bound. Use me today. If you don't ask God to use you, guess what God say? I ain't going to use you because you didn't volunteer. God said, I'm going throughout the whole earth looking for who I can show myself strong to. You got any volunteers? Every day he wants to show himself strong through you. Are you willing? Verse 3. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ. Where?
In God.
So your actions are going to either show you either in God or not in God. You stealing something out of the store, out of the job, or wherever it is. Is that in God? You didn't confirm him, so it's not going to be endorsed by him. Satan get the credit. Are you with me?
Amen.
Verse 4. For when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed in glory with him. Now, y'all see, most people that look at that text, they think about it in the future. They talk about in heaven. They talk about when God come back for the church. The light came on for me is God talking about right now. Is this sinking in? If I do what Christ want me to do and be his ambassador and show his attributes, glory gonna show up. Are y'all with me this morning? And you shall also be revealed with him in glory. So when people see you, they see the Savior, he came to get glory. Verse 5. Now we go back to a choice. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as what?
Dead.
As dead to what?
Immorality.
And he gives us a list. Immorality.
Impurity.
Passions. Evil desires. Greed. Which amounts to idolatry.
Yeah.
Oh boy, I'm telling you. Yeah. Don't y'all know, sometimes we let idolatry pop in there so quick and we thinking right? For it is on account of these things that the wrath of God will come. For in them you also once walked when you were living where?
In them.
Do you know everyone in here used to be a terrific liar? If you say you never was a liar, you already just told her what? Because all of us got that nature.
That's it.
See, because you don't have to teach your children how to what? You let them do something wrong and they learn. If I tell them this and they think I didn't do it, I can get away with it. Come on, you got a ranking?
You got children.
Because the nature is in us.
Yeah.
The fallen nature is in us.
Yeah.
Where we at? Verse 8. But now you also put them aside. Put them all aside. And he gives us another list. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who is being what?
Renewed.
That's that word, confirm, in the true knowledge, according to the image of the one who created him. Who created him? God the Father. And you are trusting his Son?
Yes, Lord.
God says, turn to Colossians 3:17. Colossians 3:17.
Amen.
Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father. God the Father. To him, God the Father. So if Jesus Christ would not sign off on that, what you doing hanging out, participating in that area?
Amen.
People going to see your conduct, right?
Amen.
I used this before. Let me use it again, because I don't like wasting my efforts. Three men stood before the judge on a charge of being drunk and disorderly in their conduct in public. And so the judge says, what were you doing? And he asked the first man. And the first man says, well, I was just throwing peanuts in the pond. So the judge says, okay. And he says, ask the second person, well, what were you doing? And the second person says, well, I was busy throwing peanuts in the pond too. So the judge says, well, that sounds harmless. What? And he asked the third person, okay, third person. You know, throwing peanuts in the pond don't seem like it's a lot of big deal. He asked the third person, what would you do? And the third person said, no, sir, I wasn't throwing peanuts in the pond. I'm peanuts. Sometimes we can be thinking what we're doing is right, but it's so wrong. Your conduct reveals what's going on between you and God. Covenanting is not an endorsement by Jesus Christ. Isn't that right?
That's right. It's not.
If it's not in Jesus' name, don't do it. Lusting is not in Jesus' name. Is that right? Selfishness is not in Jesus' name. Isn't that right? See, it is in line with the character of Jesus Christ. When Jesus' name is mentioned, it does more than just talk about it. It fits his character. So when you're doing something, your character must be seen by how Christ would do it. In everything in his fullness. Therefore, that opens the door to what? God's power, God's authority. What's the title of today's message? Who are you confirming? If you're confirming the fallen one, you're going to get the fallen one's power. If you're confirming Jesus Christ, you're going to get his power. Choose which one who you're going to use. Choose which one you're going to use. You are going to use one of them. You do know that, right? Ain't no neutral. You get up in the morning, you're not going to be neutral. You have been designed such a way, you're either going to be endorsing Satan or you're going to be endorsing Christ. You either will be confirming Satan or you will be confirming Christ. And you know, on your credit card, if somebody else sign off with your name, hopefully they're not going to be able to get in your account, right? They're going to say, denied. Well, that's what God does every day of our life. When we say we're going to be of him, but we're doing of Satan, you say, denied.
Lord.
Access denied.
Access denied.
Not confirmed. Because when God saved you, he saved you to destroy Satan's work. Lying is not Christ's work. Hate is not Christ's work. Revenge is not Christ's work. What's the shortcut? Love. Are you loving the unlovable? Your assignment is, whoever sent across your path, are you going to love them the way Jesus loved them? He loved you.
Yes, he did.
You did not deserve to go to hell.
That's
You did not deserve to be redeemed.
That's
you did not deserve his grace.
That's
but he poured it out to you.
Yes, he did.
Brothers and sisters, now this is the part where I get happy. Because I did not deserve God's grace. I did not deserve for his grace to be poured out to me. Go back to sermon text up front, Emmanuel. Who are you confirming? In that Romans chapter 6, verse 11, it says, even so, consider. See, you got to make a choice. Consider yourself dead to sin.
Uh-huh.
See, if you don't first think, wait a minute. I got a crossroad right here at this moment. Which way I'm going to go?
Mm-hmm.
I can do it God's way, or I can do it Satan's way. Mm-hmm. You know, growing up, you know, you used to have this cartoon
mm-hmm.
where it had the devil on one shoulder
mm-hmm.
and the angel on the other shoulder, right? Y'all, I'm dating myself,
right?
And the devil be telling them, go ahead and do it. You know you want to do it.
Yeah.
Go ahead. You know you want to. And the angel be playing the harp, no, do it the holy and righteous way. Don't do it that way. It's not good. God's not being good. And you got to make a choice.
Yeah.
Which shoulder are you going to listen to?
Dude,
the devil going to tell you, yeah. Oh, you know you want. Go ahead and do it, girl. Boy, you know that stuff look good. Go ahead and go for it. Come on. And the angel going to say, now you know that's wrong. Don't do that. God won't be pleased. Which choice you going to make? Am I helping you today? Who are you confirming? Well, we're going to stop and open the doors of the church. I pray that you got something out of this morning's message. You have the victory in your hands. You do know that, right?